This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. 10, 9, 8.
The following program is a show intended for an adult audience. Our discussions are of a sexual nature and may contain coarse language and references to drugs.
Change the scheme, alter the mood. Electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
Request level 1 satellite visual surveillance.
NSA Eagle Eye 1 track set, reassignment protocol for
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy
94.9.
I want to do bad things with you.
You're with Dean Beck on Hide and Seek.
You certainly are with Dean Beck on Hide and Seek, and this is your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Joining me in the hot seat, Andrew the Apprentice, welcome.
Good evening, Dean. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's good.
Did I see you at a certain dirty, filthy leather party the other day?
You may have a couple of times seen me at a dirty, filthy, sexy leather party.
It was a very fun night.
It was a great night.
Had by all at Beyond.
Yes.
Yes.
You'll be able to see a photo of us if you wanted to on our Facebook page.
Yes, there is a lovely photo of Andrew the Apprentice and myself on our Facebook page, which is, of course,
Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
What a delightful couple they are, too. Now, tonight, we're going to have a bit of fun with you. Actually, we're not going to have a bit of fun with you.
It's a bit of a serious show tonight.
But we're not going to get bogged down in it.
We'll have a bit of a laugh along the way.
We will indeed have a few laughs along the way. But today we will be talking about suicide, which is a subject that most people in the media avoid like the proverbial. There's a lot of reasons for that. For many, many years it was thought that discussing anything to do with suicide would lead to encouraging others to do so. It has never really been my belief that that is the case. There are new guidelines for those in the media who wish to talk about suicide, and we won't be following those either. So what we will be doing, as you can see, we'll be as irreverent as usual.
Yes.
But what we will be doing is discussing the prevalence of suicide. We'll be talking to our resident psychologist. We'll be talking to Paul Martin, of course.
And then after that, we'll be talking to Dr. Michael Dudley, who's the chairman of Suicide Prevention Australia.
And we'll also have a chat to Sean, who had, along with myself, a close friend who committed suicide, and we'll discuss the impact of that. And in our second hour, Andrew,
we're also going to be having...
I am petrified.
We're going to be having a chat to someone... Everyone on Joy knows quite
Most
well.
Most people would probably know Dean,
And lots of people in the community, because he is a major promoter of various parties and whatnot. We could be having a chat to Dean...
Probably more the whatnot, but yes.
Probably more the whatnot.
Yes.
But, yeah, we're going to be having a chat to Dean Murphy, the broadcast manager here at Joy 94.9 and Man About Town. And, and his experiences that he's had with suicide over his life.
And, of course, we'd really love you to make a contribution to the program. Tell us any of the stories that, how you've been affected by those close to you who may have passed away. Perhaps you've had thoughts yourself with regards to suicide and you'd like to share with us how you got through that and how you managed to, battle on, which we all have to do from time to time.
Exactly. Now, we're doing this because it is World Suicide Prevention Week, leading up to World Suicide Prevention Day this coming Saturday, September the 10th. So that's why we're covering this topic in depth.
Some detail, indeed. So, yes, please, share your stories with us.
It's in. Have your say.
The game is on again.
SMS 0427 JOY 949. Give us your feedback. On air at joy.org.au.
Our line is open for your feedback.
Hide and seek.
Sponsored by The Laird.
Serving the leather and bear community for over 30 years.
LairdHotel.com.
Guests appearing on Hide and Seek provide general information only. What you hear on the show should not replace consulting your mental health professional. If you're in need of immediate care, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always contact 000.
How can it be?
Purify your senses. The Game Potentialist.
You're on Joy 94.9 on Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and myself, Andrew the Apprentice. And on the line now, we have our Gay Potentialist, Dr. Paul Martin. How are we doing?
Oh, you've just been promoted.
Very well, thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, very well.
Fabulous.
Now, it is Suicide Prevention Day this coming Saturday, and we are talking about things, all things to do with suicide. And sadly, it is, I couldn't believe this, but I found it today, it is the largest cause of death for both men and women under the age of 34.
Yeah. No, it's the statistics are really, really awful, and unfortunately, even worse in our communities as well. So it's a really big problem.
With the queer community being somewhere between 4 and 14 times more likely to commit suicide.
Absolutely. No, the statistics regarding mental health in our communities are just really, really sad for many good reasons, I think. So it's a very unfortunate problem, and unfortunately, the people that do it just do it, and some end up not being able to and end up being disabled. So, or if they just keep thinking about suicide, of course, that's a very depressing thought. The idea of not wanting to be alive is a pretty awful place to be in as well.
So we've talked to you in generally about, since we've started talking to you, really about these prevention strategies, and I suppose all the way through. So I suppose we should really recap on some of these strategies that are the best to assist in reducing these thoughts about self-harm and attempted self-harm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's good to actually initially think about the causes of suicidality, and that actually can be quite varied. For example, for someone who's very young, one of the problems can be, when you don't feel that you belong at school, and when you have a very strong fear of being rejected by your parents, who, are supposed to love you unconditionally, and of course there's a fear that they won't, and you'll be abandoned by your parents. And I think because we're such a dependent species, the idea of that causes a lot of psychological distress. It's interesting because the statistics are very, very high for young people. But for those young people who have been rejected by their parents because of their sexuality, they're 8.5 times more likely to attempt suicide and really mean it. So that's quite different, for example, to people in rural communities who don't have anyone perhaps to connect with, and they can't really come out. Very different again to someone who maybe was very active, an active gay person in their 20s and in the middle of their 80s, and of course, their whole friendship network was died off quite frequently back then, and now they're kind of aging and now socially isolated, and a social isolation can contribute to it.
And I suppose it's that general theme about social isolation and then also some sort of level of helplessness or something.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So there are a lot of different issues. So depression, shame, discrimination, hate crimes, all those sorts of things can contribute and substance abuse, alcohol abuse, all those sorts of things can contribute to someone's, increasing probability of wanting to kill themselves. So it's quite an individual thing for each person. And I think that one of the most important things for people is, if you've got a friend who's withdrawn and you just think they're not being themselves, or if you've just had enough, or you feel so ashamed or so awful about yourself and so defective, the number one thing to do is to recognise that it is actually a very natural thing to experience those sorts of thoughts. There's a lot of shame around it. So people think, oh my God, I can't tell anyone that I feel this way. I'm going to feel like such an idiot or so terrible about myself. But just that it's, a lot of people during their lives will think about this. And it's not until you actually talk to someone, particularly someone who understands, like a LGBT-friendly counsellor or psychologist, that you can really start offloading and starting to get a sense of clarity about the reasons why you want to do that. And that's really the first step.
Because, that's sort of a good step into starting to reconnect with a broader network. Really, even if you can just talk to one person.
That's right. So really, there's a couple of things there. One of them is getting to the point where you can open up and you can talk about how you really feel. That's number one. And the second thing is that when you start to connect with people who value you and who mirror back to you your value and a sense of self, that's also another really important way of moving forward with this.
All right, Paul, we'll come back in a couple of moments and we'll talk more about the prevention strategies that assist in reducing this risk of self-harm.
We are speaking with Paul Martin, who is our resident gay potentialist. And, of course, if you are having any difficulties with regards to your own life or you're feeling depressed, then please contact Lifeline. 13 11 14 is the number. And we will continue to give that out through the evening. You're with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories.
Hide and seek.
Come on, man.
Call Joy.
Come on.
1300 Joy 949.
Come on.
SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Come on.
Email onair@joy.org.au.
Come on. Come on.
Joy 94.9.
You are with Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice on Hide and Seek. Our special guest is our regular psychologist, Paul Martin. Now, Paul, we've had a wonderful email come through onair@joy.org.au. And this email from Jenny says, this is a worthy topic, and that Australia has one of the highest suicide rates in the world, and for an affluent country, this is indeed somewhat shameful. The pressure to succeed, get the right degree, get the perfect job, get a nice partner, have the lovely house, have the right television or car or whatever, is just too much for some people. We should all celebrate the person behind their status and be less judgmental and more humanistic in our approach to one another. Jenny says...
Fantastic.
Yes, indeed. Beautiful. It is. Thank you, Jenny, so much for that.
Thank you. Yeah, look, there's some really good stuff in there. One of them is about self-acceptance. And sometimes it's really difficult to do that when you're a young gay lesbian person or an older gay lesbian person. You're going to the gay lesbian scene, for example, to a nightclub, and you can look around and think, well, I don't fit in here, so maybe I'll never belong, which can sort of activate really old feelings of social exclusion from when you're young. What she says, I think, is very good, that self-acceptance is a huge part about all of this. And a lot of people who feel like they're not succeeding in the typical sense of succeeding can feel like a failure. And that can reinforce already existing deeply held beliefs about being defective.
Paul, what happens if you've got say you've got a friend that you recognise that they're down and they're starting to distance themselves from you, and you're concerned about them, and you go to try and help them, and they just say, "Look, leave me alone. I just want to be alone. I just want to be left alone. Leave me alone," which is sort of standard issue stuff for people that are feeling down and out. What would you suggest is one of the best ways to make sure that you connected to them without smothering them? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yes. So what can happen in that situation is you can actually feel quite a lot of anxiety, because you can feel a sense of hope or helplessness, like you can't help them. And that anxiety can then lead you to be a little bit pushy or intrusive or in their face. And what happens is that when people are feeling down, for example, it's one of the reasons people eventually suicide is it can be part of depression. And when someone's feeling down, they usually withdraw from people. And if you're in their face all the time and you feel you've got to rescue them, they can respond in the opposite way and push you even further away. So it is a matter of, as you mentioned, you know, maintaining that same warm, unconditionally loving kind of connection to them, knowing that this withdrawal, don't take it personally. It's not about you. It's really about the emotion of depression or the mood of depression. And what you can do is just, find, some information like a pamphlet or something and just, say, look, I'm wondering if this might be you, and they might just tell you to piss off, but at least you've got it there. And you could even do a bit of research and find out in the local area where some counselling is. And that's really all you can do. By maintaining that relationship, that's the most important thing. And allowing them to talk to you and making it safe and confidential and all those sorts of lovely things. And when people start opening up, that's when you can talk to them about, well, look, it's not just about the gay scene, it's not just about money, it's about, self-acceptance and who you are. And look, there are so many different gay groups out there. There's like 100 in Queensland, I'm sure there's more in Melbourne, that are not part of the gay scene, and you can find yourself mirrored back to yourself somewhere out there.
And also, if you've got a friend you're trying to assist, it's always good to have a chat to someone before, if you're not sure about and you're not getting the response, maybe have a chat yourself to a psychologist or to a social worker or counsellor or whoever,
absolutely,
just to get some ideas and pointers.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Look, I think that's a fantastic idea. Certainly, and there are a lot of places out there, like there's Relationships Australia. You can look up your gay and lesbian psychologists and counsellors in the gay magazines or online.
Gay and Lesbian Switchboard here in Melbourne is a great resource as well. In Melbourne, 9663 2939, or if you're in regional Victoria, 1-800-184-527.
Now, Paul, we've had another SMS come through. I believe it's such a great thing that Australia has a very good support network and awareness for individuals who are depressed and who are suicidal. Coming to this country from Sri Lanka and living here for 21 years, I went through depression and I felt suicidal. I decided to tell my parents, and sadly their reaction was not great. They said, "What do you want about? Your brother didn't have any of this nonsense. Go out and do more sports," which, of course, devastated our listener. Now, those sorts of things, whilst for some might be, get off your ass and do something, might work, but for others, that's the last thing they want to hear.
Absolutely. And that goes back to that sense of rejection. And a lot of gay and lesbian people have what's called rejection sensitivity, which is a very natural thing, because when you're at school, for example, you get this belief that if you do come out, or if people really get to know who you are, they're not going to accept you anymore. And of course, the reality is that it's a great deselection tool, because anyone who doesn't accept you for who you are, you actually don't want to know them anyway. So that's a wonderful SMS, so thank you from that guy. Because also cross-cultural issues and religious issues are also very important when thinking about suicidal issues. And people who come from a culturally or linguistically diverse background who is also same-sex attracted or gender diverse have a multiple layers of different difficulties in terms of culture and it becomes very, very complex. But as he said, luckily we are in a country where there are support networks, and one of the difficult things when you're feeling down is to actually reach out and make that phone call. It's one of the hardest things to do, But once you've done that, once you've done that and you've opened up to someone who's a caring person and hopefully a counsellor or a psychologist, that's the first step along the track to feeling better and getting some hope back, because that's so important when you're feeling suicidal.
Definitely. I mean, and we've talked before, it's connecting to the community. It's finding that community group that you can feel comfortable with and connect to.
It's so important. It's absolutely central. It's such a good point, because when you finally find your tribe, in inverted commas, or your community, what happens is that you get your value as a person mirrored back to you for who you are. For example, I had one guy who was morbidly obese, who was very depressed and quite suicidal. So every time he went out to the gay scene, he was treated like shit. And he said, well, look, there's nowhere for me out there. But it wasn't until he got involved in some in book clubs and music things and a whole range of other groups in Queensland. And then he said, look, the people that I'm now connecting, I've got great friends. They don't care about my weight. They just love me for who I am. And it's just this incredible feeling I've never had before. Ever since I was a little kid, I've always felt like I didn't belong. And now there's hope, and now there's that sense of community, which is really wonderful.
Well, Paul Martin, you belong with us.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Paul.
Our resident gay potentialist, Paul Martin, joining us all the way from Brisbane. And you can find out more about Paul Martin at...
at the Centre for Human Potential, CFHP.com.au.
Write it down, darling.
Yeah, I will.
Guests appearing on Hide and Seek provide general information only. What you hear on the show should not replace consulting your mental health professional. If you're in need of immediate care, please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. In an emergency, always contact 000.
And we've had so many messages come through. Thank you to all of those people who are sending through their messages. Anastasia, Kevin, Pam, thank you very much. We really do appreciate it. Keep those messages coming. Perhaps you've got a story you'd like to share with us. Maybe you've got a story of how you managed to push through some of those darker times. We'd love to hear from you.
Hide and seek.
Come on, man.
Joy. 1-300-JOY-949. SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Email onair@joy.org.au.
Hi, this is Tracy Bartram, and you're listening to Hide and Seek with Dean Beck and poor Andrew the Apprentice. I really feel sorry for Andrew because Dean is so bossy. It's Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9 on Hide and Seek with myself, Andrew the Apprentice.
I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah, just shut up. Yeah. And because earlier today you spoke...
No, I'm shutting up.
You know, but you've already had,
nothing.
Your word today.
So no, that's why I'm shutting up.
So, because earlier today you did speak with Dr. Michael Dudley, the chairman of Suicide Prevention Australia. And I believe you began the interview by asking him why suicide's not mentioned much in the media.
Look, it's something that I think has a stigma attached to it. People sort of are very anxious about the problem of suicide generally, and they're also anxious about reporting it because they think, that perhaps, this will, talking about it may give people ideas. That's not in fact correct. But there is some evidence that, reporting it, in a dramatic or, romantic or, other ways that are not so appropriate can raise suicide rates. So people have been concerned about that, and there are national guidelines about how to report, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't be discussing it.
Yeah, I don't know how we could possibly talk about it in a romantic sort of way.
Well, people, if you look at reports of individual deaths, sometimes people kind of, their front page, they're kind of, they kind of are portrayed as kind of tragic losses due to, blighted love or, events like that. And sometimes the way it's portrayed, sort of would suggest that people, doing something that's not kind of avoidable, whereas we believe that suicide is avoidable.
Now, in your role as a child psychologist, do you see the seeds, if you like, of some of these things that manifest later in life towards suicide?
Look, I guess at our association we're concerned about suicide across the lifespan. you're quite correct, work with young people. We do see, you know, the antecedents of these problems in childhood and youth, and certainly early intervention is important. You know, people, you know, it's very important to recognise mental health problems early and to intervene early to try to, you know, prevent things. But, yeah, look, I think obviously suicide is a an issue in young people, adolescents and young adults. It's the principal cause of death of those under age 34 in both sexes. So we have a, you know, a major national issue. You know, probably, you know, 2,500 people die per annum of suicide in Australia.
When you say it's the principal cause of death, it's the number one cause of death for men and women under 34?
That's correct.
Wow. What should we look for as friends of someone who might be, you know, a little down or not looking too good? Because there's a big difference between being depressed, being a little sad, and then someone wanting to take their own life.
You're absolutely right, and not everyone who's depressed does have suicidal thoughts, but, you know, certainly, obviously, suicidal, you know, ideas and behaviour are associated with depression as well. And I guess we're really talking not just about depression, but, you know, a range of issues that, you know, mental health problems that people confront. I guess what I'd be mostly looking for, most clinicians, you know, most experts would be looking for, is some kind of change of character. You know, even friends and family and so on will be noticing this. You know, when people actually kind of are not the same. They're withdrawing. They're more irritable. Perhaps, you know, they might, you know, sort of be drinking more, or they, you know, using drugs. There's a number of sort of telltale signs. You know, that people, you know, kind of are not doing okay. And I guess what we'd be urging in this kind of situation would be, you know, don't leave it too late. Talk to your mate, you know, sort of make sure that you actually reach out to people.
And one of those one of those signs is sort of retreating, is it not?
That's correct.
That someone that has been in your life and is in your life extensively, all of a sudden they sort of suddenly pull away for their own reasons, whatever it is, and they retreat and they're sort of out of your life all of
a
sudden.
That's right, yeah. So that's right. It's often, it may be kind of, you know, doing something outrageous, but quite frequently it's what you just described. You know, it's more like, you know, disappearing, and you know, or it can be, and it's really important to kind of, you know, to recognise silence or quietness, excessive or whatever, as a warning sign, just as much as something outrageous would be, you know. So change of behaviour, being alert to it, checking out, are you okay, you know, are you doing all right, is really important. And then if you find out that the person isn't okay, then tracking it through. Don't get panicked about that. Make sure that if people are saying they're not all right, seek help for them, seek help for yourself, and, you know, make sure that you, you know, sort of get them to stay with someone, you know?
Absolutely. Now, we often hear about the cyberbullying and the issues with kids, particularly to our audience with homosexuality issues.
Yep.
But there is also a something that sort of goes unnoticed with the older members of our community as well.
Look, yeah, I mean, you're referring there to...
people that in their older age, they just find themselves lonely and no one there and...
Correct.
Top themselves.
Yeah, no, look, sure, and I think you're drawing attention to a really important issue. I think that, you know, one of the key points is that older people, as you say, do get isolated. They do have high rates of suicide, even though the numbers are not as great as in young people, and they are, you know, sort of often suffering from physical illness. They may, you know, sort of have lost friends. They may be grieving. Not all change in this age group represents ordinary aging. It may represent undetected depression, and, you know, mourning and you know, the kind of things that we're just talking about. So it's really important, again, to make sure that people are actually kind of connected, you know?
It must be really difficult for people who are older to see, you know, their friends just dying, you know, all around them. That can't be a positive environment to be living in when you know, your closest friends are dying naturally.
I think having a role for older people with people generally in the whole community and bridging, having bridges between generations where people actually are of value to each other across generations is really important. So, you know, there's a process of learning in both going on in both directions.
Now, Suicide Prevention Day is tomorrow. What are some of the key focuses of this particular event?
Well, we're basically looking at, you know, the issue of, you know, sort of World Suicide Prevention Day is looking at the difference in suicide across cultures. We've obviously have our Life Awards, which recognise individuals and organisations doing great things in suicide prevention, so they'll be taking place tomorrow. There's a series of resources available through the Suicide Prevention Australia website about Australians getting to know the signs of mental illness and suicide, and they're an incredibly valuable new resource that people can look up on their website. But you can also, you know, people, if they look up Suicide Prevention Aust, AUST.org, can also learn more about the purpose of the event, it's the events going on in your local area, and even, you know, how you might hold your own event or, you know, sort of, you know, commemorate the day if it's something that, you know, concerns you personally.
And there are lots of great resources and links from that website.
Absolutely. It's a terrific website. So I'd urge people to get onto it and download whatever's relevant for you.
Suicide Prevention Day is this Saturday, the 10th of September. Dr. Michael Dudley is the chairperson for Suicide Prevention Australia. Thank you so much for joining
us. No troubles at all.
Hide and seek.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're with Dean Beck.
People are still having sex. It's been going on for quite a while.
On Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
I'm sorry, darling. I couldn't help laughing.
Yes, the rather smooth, rather dulcet tones of one Tracy Twatt. Now, if you haven't heard the lovely Tracy before, that was a single that had a film clip, it's actually available on YouTube, of a man who at the time was quite influential in Melbourne's drag scene. He was a good friend of mine and an even better friend of our guest, Sean Gunn. He joins us now. Sean, welcome.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Now, it's been probably quite a while since you heard that.
Yes, I was thinking, that sounds familiar. Is that your introductory theme tune? And then suddenly, as soon as I heard Richard Stylings, it's like, I remember that from the dance
floor.
Three faces.
Indeed. Now, the reason Sean has joined us is to basically discuss the impact that Tracy's death had on him. And I know that at the time it was in the middle of a series of people who had decided to commit suicide for myself. And I think Tracy was the third one out of about five in the space of about 18 months. Yeah. So
when was that? What sort of time period was that?
We're talking about 1996. Oh, I've just got a visual indication from Sean to confirm that
six
was
fingers.
Correct.
It was 96.
So
was
there you go. So that, yeah, yes. There. So, Sean, you're... you've been exploring Richard's life, or Tracy Twatt's life. Tell us a bit about, initially, how the impact, you know, felt for you.
Oh. You find out someone that you love and you've known peripherally or close to you or influentially, or someone who just touched your life, is gone, no longer there, and you're not going to see them again. You're going to remember that moment. And I was on the dance floor at Three Faces on a Sunday night, dancing with friends that I worked with in hospitality. And in the nightclub Bastion, Miss Vic came up to me and just said over the loud music, "Tracy Twatt died last night." And of course, looking around the room, there were hardly anybody there. It seemed like almost like everything had gone down to, it had stopped. Hardly anyone was out. And the word was spreading. I went to the Peel, and of course, you could hear virtually people saying, you know, talking about him and the impact that it had on them, because it had an impact on a lot of people across the scene. And the impact on me was one of absolute shock and just disbelief. I thought it was a rumour.
Tracy was one of those creatures that was larger than life, both physically and the persona. And more often than not, that was a facade.
Big time.
But we would never really know that. If you only ever bumped into Tracy whilst out, you would only ever see the facade.
That's right, the show.
Yeah.
Because the show didn't really finish
off the show never really finished, yes. Yes, you're quite right.
So did you know Richard personally then?
I did. I was performing at Three Faces occasionally around the time Richard's show was on at Three Faces as well. And so as performers on the same stage, we lived in the same area in Windsor. And after our show, Richard would come and say, "Hi, how are you? I wasn't a drag performer, I was performing in a band. And he liked our music and recommended songs that we should perform. We covered a few 80s tracks, and Richard was really into the group and recommended songs. We started meeting each other for coffee in Chapel Street, going to secondhand CD stores and just buying secondhand CDs. And he was just into my act, and I was really into his act. So we were kind of like stable mates from the same, yeah, you know, production house in a way.
And for me, he was my offsider with the production of a guys only night that I was running called Boys Night Out. And when I would go in to set up and totally transform the venue with the theme of whatever it was that month, my assistant was Richard.
Mm.
So it was, you know, we would share all sorts of wonderful stories in that time of being in a nightclub where there was no one else, literally, you know, on a Monday afternoon, no one else except the two of us, staple gunning black plastic to the ceiling to create a dark room. and we would tell all sorts of stories. But it was extraordinary that, I just felt terrible that he was all of a sudden gone. And I had no comprehension that there was even a hint of, you know, wanting to disappear.
And I think I've told you some years ago when we were just recounting our memories of Richard that I was so shocked at the time I didn't believe it had happened, but I suddenly flashed back to a photograph that I'd taken only a week earlier, the night of Richard's last performance at Three Faces. I actually have the last photograph of Richard in existence at the Peel with the most distraught, devastated look on his face, full makeup still painted pink. It was bizarre, and he just
again
absolutely
hiding behind the facade
totally. But at this time there was no show. He was just there looking really, really depressed. Something had happened, I believe, on stage that night that didn't sit well with him, and he was very, very lost in himself and lost over his performance that night, not happy with his performance in some manner. I do not know exactly what happened.
And look, we'll never know. But how has it affected you? Because I know for a fact that it stays with you in a certain way for you, because you've been exploring, putting something together that almost in homage to
totally.
Yeah.
Richard was someone you could never forget. I mean, there's a lot of people who might be listening to this who knew him or knew of him or might have encountered him at the shows at Three Faces, on the scene, at the Winter Days parties that he performed at, or maybe at Boys Night Out. And he was incredibly accessible as a drag performer and a promoter on the scene in Melbourne. He'd talk to anybody. And I never forgot Richard from the time that he died in 1996. He'd always been in my mind, and I've got to tell you, I just can say, ooh, spooky, spooky. I heard his voice in my head in a time when I wasn't performing, and I was exploring my own ability with writing, and I just heard his voice in my head saying, "Write about me."
Hmm.
And I thought, okay, drag queen from country town moves to the city, becomes a famous drag performer among the scene, records a single, which is a local hit, and unfortunately has a sort of checkered past in the background of what else he liked to do off the screen, off the stage, and then tragically dies at a moment of potential ultimate success of becoming a star, and a few other bits and pieces about Richard that I knew, and it inspired me to write about Richard, and he's the central focal character of a film script that I've written. This was in 1999.
Has that process itself helped you come to terms with his passing in some way, shape or form?
Yes, it did, because I felt that Richard had given a lot of his energy and belief in me when we were hanging out together around the time I was performing at Three Faces in a medium that was not something you just totally accepted on the scene. It was a boy band.
Indeed.
And
a 90s boy band.
Thanks for laughing.
Indeed, it was a 90s yes. boy band at the height of 90s boy bands. But Tracy was one of those acerbic wits that if you were on the wrong side of Tracy Twatt, you bloody well knew it. But if you weren't, you were well and truly looked after. Not overtly, but Tracy would do anything for you.
I do know that as a fact as well, because I got to know a few of his friends after the event, after he passed away, etc. And I had also never met some of the loveliest people on the scene who were grieving very deeply after he died, especially his flatmates, etc. I wrote it for Richard because I just wanted to keep his memory alive and tell his story, because I thought this is a story that must be told. And I've drafted the work. I'm working on putting it together at some stage. We've talked about it before
it's
as well. But
still very much on the go.
Yes, totally, totally. And anyone who looked at it who was around that time would go, well, this is obviously Tracy Twatt's story. A lot of it can be intimated as fantasy, but a lot of it's taken from reality as I knew him. And I wanted to tell his story because it was such an important story for people to see that someone could go from just being your everyday person, get up on stage, don a frock, do a bit of drag, etc. Certainly wasn't tragic lounge room drag. Be a really influential person, be a nice person, a good person, and try to change the scene as well in the work that he did with you on Boys Night Out. And
which
make
didn't
noise.
Sit comfortably with him because, you know, he was a drag queen, and Boys Night Out was certainly not one of those nights. But it was a night where he as a guy, in fact the only night where he as a guy actually felt comfortable to be out on the gay scene as a guy.
That is true. Yes, Richard, he was a big fella. He was a portly chappy. He was, in these days, he would have been a bear or something, much likely, wouldn't he?
Yes, quite true,
true. He was a big fella.
Well, check out Tracy Twatt on YouTube. That's Tracy EY and Twatt with one T. You will have a greater understanding of whom we're talking about. And Sean Gunn, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, and I just want to say, I'll bang.
Sponsored by The Lead.
Serving the leather and bear community for over 30 years.
Leadhotel.com.
Feeling horny?
Oh, yeah.
Then get your gear off and jump into bed with me. Ah! Every Thursday night from 10 p.m.
Hide and seek.
Hi, I'm Dean Beck. Join me, our swinging sexperts and special guests for a no-holds-barred audio orgy on the airwaves as we discuss sex, sexuality and how it relates to you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.